Kia ora e te whānau, nau mai hoki mai ki te kōnai ipurangi a tōku reo. Welcome back to Tōku Reo. I know it's been a long time. It's been a very long time. But this is what happens when you're a student and you study and you have assignments. Those things take priority over making podcasts. But we're back. We're in a fancier studio today, which is awesome. And we've got two of our incredible Tōku Reo guests back on the show. We have Chelsea Winstanley, tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
And we have Leonie Hayden, tēnā koe.
Kia ora, kare.
You two have been a part of my everyday life so far this year.
Aroha mai.
As we all study together, full immersion, rūmaki reo. And I wanted to firstly ask, what's new? What's the update since we last had a kōrero about our reo journeys here on Tōku Reo? How is your reo at the moment? Pēhea o tō reo? Kei te matatau koe?
Wow. Oh, the reality, I suppose. Well, you know. I te tīmatanga o tēnei tau, ai, te hia hia au. Matatau, reo, Māori.
You wanted to be an expert.
Ai, yes, of course I did. But the reality is, it was never going to be like that. I don't think the course is actually designed to for you to be an expert or matatau I te reo Māori. Because what it's really, I suppose, highlighted for me is that reo Māori or kei te ako I te reo Māori is a life learning, it's a whole life journey. Especially if you didn't grow up in that Māori environment in terms of speaking te reo Māori, if you didn't go to kōhanga or wasn't part of your everyday life and it wasn't at home, you kind of are learning again. I think when we first spoke, the teacher I had at the time, that's an update.
Yeah, new class.
New kaiako, new class.
Aye. Whiako, whiako, whiako. Had said to us, remember that you're all babies at kōhanga, and I think that was a really good thing to remember because you can be really hard on yourself. So we are just learning, and it's nice to remind yourself that it baby steps are okay too, you know.
What about you, Leonie?
I think I might have said this last time, but it is hard to see your own progress, but it's very easy to see others. So for me, what's new is really watching this incredible blossoming of our classmates and hoping that that is also happening for me, which I think it is. But again, it's when you're in it and you're just adding to that kete every day, it's easier to see what your deficits are rather than what your achievements are. However, as the year has progressed, we've just had like an assignment where we saw a lot of our classmates have quite a major breakthrough where they stood and they spoke for 35 minutes. And it was, you know, some people who had struggled for a lot of the year or with the shyness of standing up and speaking before your peers, which is probably one of the hardest things to do. And I've just never cried with pride so much in my life for other people, not for myself, because like I said, it's hard to measure in yourself, but then you see this amazing blossoming in other people and it's just like I'm really starting to understand the spectrum of language learning, but also what conditions are kind of needed to break through the other side a little bit.
I guess, I mean, we're partway through the year now. We're close to the end of the year. We're not quite there. And it has been a journey of piki menga heke, lots of ups and downs, and lots of round and rounds and in-betweens and all the other. But I'm not ready to finish.
No, neither.
And I'm having quite...
Just getting started.
Yeah, I'm having some quite, I wouldn't say severe anxiety, but I'm having some anxiety about the fact that at some point we are going to finish this year.
Yeah.
And I've become quite comfortable with this year and the flow routine, of this year and the routine, because I was really worried about the routine. And I've quite enjoyed being in routine. I've quite enjoyed seeing my, you know, tino hoa. Every day I've really enjoyed being immersed in a reo Māori environment and hearing te reo Māori every day and speaking to reo Māori every day. And I'm not ready.
For the real world. Ugh. Hate it.
One of the things we talked about in our last episode was our passion for speaking Māori everywhere.
Yeah.
And how it turned into almost disgust for speaking English.
Oh, harsh. Harsh little rebels at the beginning.
Because we were so like, no, te reo Māori, te ao. How do we feel about that now? The same still?
I mean, it's not disgust. It is hard to sort of...
I like using passionate kapere. Yeah,
it is hard to jump in and out of, especially if you've been in the deal all day and then you've got to like order a coffee in English or something.
Yeah.
I just get confused. But I'm also like, there are so many spaces that are not for te reo Māori, which will be a shock to the system again next year when you are going to be horribly, we are going to be horribly and rudely reminded that it's not welcome in a lot of places. And that's not going to be fun.
You know, it reminds me, we've been on a couple of noho marae this year together. We had our first one at Ngā Hauia Whā Marae in Waiuku, and we had our second one at Te Papa Orotu, where we attended Koro Neihana down in Tūranga Waiwai. And thinking about those being very Māori spaces, and then thinking about how in some of those instances on our way there or on our way back or possibly in the middle of the noho when we were supposed to be at the marae, we went somewhere to have a kai.
Yeah.
And we spoke Māori to each other during that time. And I remember a couple of instances where our whole table is robustly speaking te reo Māori, and I looked across and I could see other people being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
In those, like with us being so loudly, proudly reo speaking table. They weren't to know that probably half the shit we were saying was wrong. But
Well, that's about... I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, go.
Well, that's about safe spaces, eh? Mm. Like wāhi haumaru. And for me, what this year's highlighted more and touches on what you're talking about, Leonie, is outside these wāhi haumaru of kura, it's really apparent that trying to maintain your reo and holding on to your reo and being able to speak it is really difficult because there aren't that many places that you can do that. And it's almost like, although we're not disgusted by Pākehā language anymore, whatever, it's actually an assault on our learning and to try and maintain, because outside those safe spaces, it's like, put your Wonder Woman armbands up, because it's like, here comes, this is not a safe space. So for me, I feel like what I need to try and do now and think about is creating those and or make sure I'm only going into those spaces or just being actually certainly not whakamā about speaking whenever I can, even if I'm making huppas all over the place. I don't care so much about that anymore. It's just about ensuring that wherever I go, I either am conscious about the safe spaces I'm going into or I'm going to create those spaces. So I'm thinking about ways I can do that next year, whether it's work or whatever it is. But I'm really also aware now how hard it is for my kids who go to a kura, who are in that safe space for 6 hours a day or whatever it is, and now how unsafe it is for them too. So you're not only – the experience has been that, like, actually visceral. So you really understand what young kids are going through, because – we're doing it now as adults, but you have a real, now you have that hōngonga relationship with what those kids and all the kids that have gone through kura kaupapa and kōhanga and whatnot. Now as adults, we're experiencing that, how hard it is that there are not many safe places, like you said, Leonie. So how do we do that next year going on from this? Although we're freaking out about leaving this space, we just need to be able to carry that somehow away, taking it through into our lives.
The added complexity as well was something that came up a lot during Te Wiki o Te Reo. There was a lot in my social medias from Māori who don't have the reo, asking for people to be sensitive to them, to those communities. And it sort of brought me back to years past where I've felt the same way. I didn't want to feel like my innate Māori-ness was minimised by the fact that I couldn't kōrero Māori. And I was reminded by opinion pieces that I had written and other people had written that, like, in your eagerness to kōrero Māori, you can sometimes whakaiti people who can't kōrero Māori. So that adds another level of complexity to finding a wahi haumaru to kōrero Māori in, because you also need to be sure that you're not alienating another Māori person from that space.
Yeah, and I think I was really conscious of that in particular recently when I was talking to my mum. Now, my mum is in her 60s, early 60s, and she has a basic grasp of basic kōrero, probably similar to what each of us would have had coming into this year. And I try and speak te reo Māori as much as I can in my house, to my baby, like wherever we're going, to people who don't speak Māori. Mostly because I just want to be able to practice describing things in te reo Māori and asking in te reo Māori. And what I will try and do is I'll say it in Māori and then I'll translate it into English. And some people might think that's a bit cocky or, you know, but actually that's just me practicing my reo in different spaces and practicing how to say something. And I remember just recently having a conversation with my mum, and I had just finished a reo Māori conversation on the phone with someone, and my mum asked me something and I turned around and I answered her completely in te reo Māori because I was sort of just flowing on from that conversation. And I could see her face change as I was speaking to her, and I knew that I was going to translate that into English afterwards. She didn't necessarily know that. And it was like this mixture of, I don't know whether she was just hōhā or a little bit uncomfortable, or I don't know exactly what it was, and I didn't ask her about it afterwards. But I just noticed she changed, her ahua changed a little bit because I just answered her in Māori. And then I said it in English, and I think she was like, oh, you could have just, you know, the way that I kind of interpreted her facial reaction was, you could have just said that in English. And so I'm really conscious of that, but also I don't want to stop doing that because I want to continue to encourage my whanau to speak Māori, to hear Māori. And so it's this fine line of trying to work out not pointing out what someone doesn't know by throwing it in their face, but at the same time bringing the space that we've been so privileged to be in this year into our home spaces or into other spaces to
it's
help
funny,
encourage.
Eh, 'cause it's actually mutual respect. So if it's your mum or whoever, or if it's your mate or flatmate or whatever, if there's a mutual respect that needs to come together in that regard, because if you want to be able to continue to speak te reo Māori, then whoever it is you're conversing with, just as they would expect you to speak English with them, because that's the only language that they can speak, it should be okay. But we're always kind of, it feels like Māori have always kind of had to reassure or make way for, or, you know, like we're so forgiving. It's like, fucking over that now. Not in a horrible way, just like, oh man, I'm not sure I have enough time left on this planet to be so forgiving anymore. I'm 46.
Like, I think I made that decision about 20 years ago. I don't know how to forgive anybody or anything or be forgiving.
Oh, well, you know, like, oh, ka aroha. Like, actually, ka aroha.
I wanted to ask you both about expectation versus reality, and the expectation of not necessarily we or reo is now, but what study would be like, what learning in this way, what additional things we've had to do outside of kura as well, in terms of maybe listening to other podcasts or reading other pukapuka or consuming beautiful films in te reo Māori, which we'll talk about later in this episode. But our expectation versus reality of where we are now, a few months down the track, to maybe what we thought we were going to be like.
This is going to sound mental, but I did so much research and talked to so many people before Takiura who'd been through that it is actually pretty much as I expected it to be. I've got a pretty good imagination as well. And obviously, no, there's stuff that has just been like when you live the day-to-day of it, it's better than I could have imagined. Like the feelings that I have felt this year are bigger than I could possibly have imagined. And I'm also like, there should be a study done on your brains before and after Takiura, because I feel like I've never... There's more new neurological links being made in this brain since I was like 4 years old. Do you know what I mean? Like you stop creating links like that after a while. And then all of a sudden this year, it's just like pew, 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 like your brain firing on all cylinders all the time. But the actual day to day in the classroom and like how we've slowly leveled up is kind of what I expected.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably didn't do as much research as you. Because a lot of things I hear people are like, oh, fuck, so hard. Like, and everyone cries.
Yeah,
and
just that's
like,
true.
You spend half the time in the bathroom having a tangi and stuff like that. I was like, oh, that sounds neat. but I wouldn't say there's been heaps of tears, but like you tears of joy and feeling very proud for your classmates and your hua that you love and seeing them thrive and seeing them capture something they've always wanted to have for their lives, you know, that's been amazing. But the learning, I suppose I didn't realise there was going to be so many other things that came with it. And I love that aspect. For me, it's been different than just going to a night class and sitting in the classroom and learning a reringa or learning how to basically speak Māori in an English grammatical way. Mm. It's nothing like that. Mm. A little bit, you know, but it's very... tikanga based as well, heaps of kapahaka, and well, more than I would be doing on a daily, like for sure, you know. There's, you know, every morning, like that routine of every morning having whānau hui, and then, you know, your karakia and waiata, and then having tāne mā get up and do whai kōrero, like this, that routine that just becomes so, I guess, normalised, which is beautiful. So those things, going away to Noho Marae or going to Koronaihana, I've never been before. I popped my Koronaihana cherry, like, yeah.
Okay. Oh, with us. Oh.
Just other things like that have, other things like that have been very beautiful and valuable, I think, that weren't, that I didn't realise were going to come. Yeah. And I love that too because it's all encompassing. So the learning experience, that whiako for me has been really different and I loved that side of it. I found that very valuable or am finding it because we're still in it. Mm.
You know, I can't believe you haven't been crying in the toilets.
Did you cry in the toilets?
I've cried in the toilets before.
Aww.
You haven't?
Why didn't
seriously,
you tell me?
I'm the only one.
I would have come and given you a hug.
Cut it. That's fine. You know, you get a bit overwhelmed, a bit tired, a bit stressed out.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
No, I have cried on the way home or on the way to kura. Like I have had, I have had moments where I've become quite overwhelmed with where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sense of being overwhelmed has maringi noa ngā roi mata.
Right.
The tears just poured out of my eyeballs.
Yeah.
How's that hoopy?
yes. So I have had moments like that. I, funnily enough, my expectation versus reality is that I didn't actually expect that I would be where I am with Māori o Māori.
That's
where I am now.
Really?
Yeah. So... our kaiako, Whae Charmaine, our pauako, Whae Charmaine, who was a new pauako, so we all went through lots of change this year. So she's our third pauako for the year. She's amazing, absolutely amazing.
Mm.
And we recently had to go on a like a placement to a kohanga reo or a kura for a week. And Whae Charmaine came to where I was. And her and I took her on a tour around the kura. And our entire conversation for an hour and a half was completely in te reo Māori.
Mm.
And it was all about the space where we were and the mahue, the planning that the kura do. And, you know, te ahuatanga o tēnei kohanga reo, tēnei kura ko hunga hunga, what it's like and what the tamariki are like. And when she left, I actually looked at my watch and was like, geez, how long was that? That felt like a really long conversation. And it was an hour and a half. And then I realised I had been in a completely reo Māori conversation with one person for an hour and a half. I didn't expect that I would be able to do that.
Yeah.
And that was quite eye-opening for me, but also a little bit like, oh, poho kereru, yaho.
Right.
I'm proud of myself. So that was really awesome. I also didn't expect how hard it is to fit in extra study outside of kura. Because I had come from just, I literally burnt myself out doing mahi last year, which is one of the main reasons, one of the big reasons also why I took this year off to study, was I actually needed to give my tinana and my wairua and my hinengaro a break. And I just used to fit so much into my day. And this year I'm like, oh, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I'm now going to go and do this other thing. And so the expectation of what I thought I was going to be like, I thought I was still going to do mahi. I thought I was going to fit an extra study. I thought my school holidays were going to be full of, you know, going over my kupuho. Carl,
yeah, it's not. Resting.
And actually that's okay. And I've kind of found something a little bit different in that I've found a bit of a normal life that I didn't have. And my baby said to me, Mama, I like that you're going to school this year. And I said, oh, why? And she goes, because you kōrero to me in te reo Māori and you come and have dinner with us and you sit with me on the couch and you read books.
Aww.
And it was like, hang on. Hang on, wait, did I not used to do that? And when I think about it, you know, when I was right in the guts of getting nuku out and the puka puka, no, I wasn't having dinner with my whānau. And I wasn't reading my daughter books. And I wasn't, you know, taking time out. So the reality of actually being able to, you know, what I said, I think, on social media was I'm going to come home to me this year. That's happening.
That actually happened. That's nice.
That's beautiful.
And that's a totally different.
It's like a reawakening.
Te reo Māori has unlocked actually just some health and well-being in my life.
I got told by some friends that I look different this year. Like there's been a change in my face. And I was like, what are you talking about? And my partner, Harry, was just like, oh, absolutely. Whatever it is that is more relaxed for you this year, even though I know what you're doing is hard, has like changed your face.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently going to Takiura is like getting a facelift.
Kia ora.
So, and weirdly enough,
a cheap one.
Crazy story. I bought this like lash serum, right? And I am always a bit cynical about whether or not they work. So I take, if I say using a lash serum, I'll take a weekly photo to see if I can see it working. And I had this album already on my phone called Eyelash Growth. Where I had already done this like 7 years ago. I know it was 7 years ago because it was before it was a certain flat. I could see it in the background. And I was like looking at the eyelash growth from back then, different brand. But I was also looking at my face and it was the first time I actually was just like, oh my God, they're actually right. These photos of me 7 years ago where I was probably working at Mana, working myself into the ground with every single deadline, stressed out of my brain all the time, overwhelmed by the crushing responsibility, or so I thought, of am I Māori enough to even be a part of this publication? Te mea, te mea. And that woman in those photos 7 years ago looked about 15 years older than I do now.
Wow.
It's so weird.
There you go. Te reo Māori makes you younger.
Yeah.
Te reo Māori gives you a facelift, takes 10 years off.
That's right. That is right.
Wow. What a reset. How beautiful.
We've gone through so many kaupapa in each wahanga so far this year. We've looked at matariki. We've looked at, you know, our te tuara o te reo, so being ourselves, our looks, our emotions, all of those things. We've gone through, we've gone through te ihi, te wehi, te wana. We've gone through hui hui marae, all of these different kaupapa that bring us new kupu, that teach us about new pūrākau, that put us into new situations. We also learnt about te aho matua and te whāriki, so the foundations of te kohanga reo and kura kaupapa Māori. What's been a favourite for you so far? What's been a highlight and why?
I think for me would be when we just, the last one we just did, when we did the placement with the kura. Because for me, I didn't even realise, well, it was wonderful to create a much stronger hongonga with the kura that my girls go to understand really on a daily basis what they're doing, what they're learning, how I can then support them at home. Because that was actually the whole one of the main reasons I wanted to do this course, was because I wanted to make sure that my girls could go through rūmaki reo, and you have to have a commitment at home. So there's a responsibility from parents if you want your kids to go through that space, which is everything that I wanted my babies to have that I didn't have, you know. So you have to kind of step up. And it was really good to be able to see that in action. And, wow, much respect for kayako and teachers of kids going through this space, you know. Like, wow. And just the energy and the love that they're giving your children, giving to your babies to stay true in their mana of speaking te reo Māori and tikanga and everything goes with it. And so it makes you want to be involved in their lives. And then you, it makes you actually, you start to learn things about, well, how can I implement that in my whare more? And so I really appreciated this last kind of wahanga. I thought it was really, really useful for me as a parent anyway. I mean, most of them have been amazing. And they've all had aspects that I like about them because they're all new whiako. But this one in particular for me, just because I am a mum and I want to be able to help my babies and I want them to experience life. I want them to experience te ao Māori with no barriers. I don't want them to be 46 going back to school. I'm saving them.
Oh, boy.
What about you, Eho?
I think of all the sort of modules that we've done, Matariki was my favourite one. Just because I love pūrākau and paki waitara, I'd love to learn about what life was like for our tūpuna. And there was just so much magical stuff that we learnt around Matariki that, I mean, essentially we got to go on our own journey to do whakapuaki and write a story about any aspect of Matariki that we wanted, linked to whatever we wanted. Linked mine to kumara and the star in Matariki that's linked to our cultivated foods. And then you just get to go on these really beautiful sort of like research tangents and like the kete of kupuho, of new words that you learn alongside that. I don't know, I just, yeah, I love anything to do with our tangata kuiho. I think it's because I've spent so much of my working life in the like traumatic racism space that my favourite parts of learning about te ao Māori are in like the beautiful spaces where you're just learning about sort of magical things and how our tūpuna saw the world without, before, you know, before violent settler colonialism came along.
Yay.
Yeah, I loved that.
Ngā tangata tāmitanga.
Ai, ngā tangata tāmitanga.
My favourite kupuhau, tangata tāmitanga, the colonisers, the oppressors. Put that in your kete. I use it often. with the kaupapa come out aromatawai in our whakapuaki. And I hanga mātou, ngā puka puka, ngā e rua.
Aye.
E rua ngā puka puka. I tito mātou, ngā waiata, oa kene pia tētahi waiata, engari, I roto I te akumanga, ngā waiata. So we have made a number of books, we have composed a number of waiata.
Yeah.
My two books, I think I'm actually going to publish.
Yes!
Yeah.
Amazing.
Because it just unlocked something else in me. And I wrote a puka puka, e pāna ki te kaupapa o Matariki, about the kaupapa of Matariki, about a kuia and her mokopuna, and the mokopuna goes into the kuia's favourite room of the house, and it's her art room where she does mahi raranga. And she says, you know, e kui, what are you going to make? It's matariki. And the kuia says, well, it really depends on what star's shining bright, because that'll tell us whether I'm making a kupinga net for the water, or a net to catch birds, or a net for kumara. And we go through this whole process of, you know, this kuia talking about the tohu of the stars. And I'm bragging about my book, because I want you to buy it when it comes out.
I'll buy it. First customer.
Some but deep advanced PR.
It was just a really, for me, again, the research around matariki, that I've been on Matariki Kaupapa for 10 years.
Mm.
And for me to kind of unlock something else around, okay, let's specifically look at the different nets associated to matariki, and thinking about writing that as a book, completely in te reo Māori, and thinking about, you know, our tamariki and mokopuna reading those books and getting some of that mātauranga through a really simple story in that way. And that was really, I don't know, that just it just was very amazing to me to stretch my creative brain in a different way, and to write a paki waitara. And then my second pukapuka, which I'm also going to publish, Te Mati He a Matauho, The Sneeze of Matauho, which is all about the deity of Tamaki Makaurau's volcanoes. And I was able to take that pukapuka into schools, into the tūkura that I went to, and read it to the tamariki. And one of those kura was my baby's kura, kura ko hunga hunga. And when I drop her off now, so that was 1 week, well, a couple of days I was there. And now that I drop her off, the kids were coming, they're like, ma, mati he. And they run around, they're like, he puia te te. And they're sort of like singing the words that I wrote, which is amazing.
Mm.
How, we're all creatives. We all work in a creative space. How has this unlocked creativity within you guys? Like, what new things have come up, or what differences have you noticed that have been unlocked through this journey of learning te reo Māori?
I've rediscovered a bit of a love of te reo as a written language, which sounds weird because we've been learning to speak, but every assessment we have to write something that goes along with it, a short essay, or in the case of our most recent one, a children's book. But I guess as with English, writing is a different skill from speaking. I do like writing, and a lot of the things we've sat down to write, I can get this, I can see this glimpse of sometime in the future when my skills have really developed, where I'm really going to enjoy writing in te reo Māori, like, and that's a skill that I've, that I'm really keen to keep going with. They're very different, you know. Everyone can speak English, well, here, but not everyone can write, do you know what I mean? So they are different skills, and I just started to feel this thing when I've been writing assessments where I'm like, oh, this is a different skill, and I want this. Yeah, so I've enjoyed that.
Beautiful.
What about you, producer of Lion King Reo Māori and soon to be released Frozen Reo Māori?
What has this year unlocked in me? What do I know more about? I know I'm not a songwriter.
Your waiata was amazing.
Yeah, what a
God, it was so good.
Chelsea performed the most beautiful waiata with her son accompanying her, and we were all like, record that shit. I will buy that. Send it to number one on the chart.
Totally.
Like, and actually,
I did cry.
Yeah, same.
I did cry.
That's because I was crying. Oh, that's when I did cry. Yeah. I have cried once. Not in the toilets. I cried right in front of you all.
Yeah, in front of 27 other people.
I'm sure someone keeps recording everyone's whakapuakis too, eh? You're like, oh, don't put that
I'm pretty
there.
Sure I have that waiata on my phone. Maybe we should share it as
Let's
part
not.
Of this episode.
Yeah,
that's right. Girl.
Let's do a vote. If you would like to see Chelsea's waiata.
That was really good.
No. Can you cut that part? Unlocked anything else. I think I just want to be more engaged, and I feel like I can be more engaged and more available now to fulfill my role with these Disney you know, reimagined versions of these beautiful films in Te Reo Māori. I can actually participate more. I'm certainly not I'm not going to be translating anything, or I'm not going to be writing the songs. There's experts for that. But just to be able to participate more fully in that process, I think, is going to be beautiful for me. Next year, two more coming up. Go to the movies, watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Two more Please. Exciting ones. You'll have to keep an eye out. I do want to ask you about creating films in Te Reo Māori.
Mm.
It's huge. And you and I, just before this podcast, were talking about being at the premiere of Lion King, Reo Māori. And firstly, I want to acknowledge, you have worked so hard this year. As well as studying, you've released so many films and supported other films being released at the film festival, these big Disney blockbusters, and you've still carried on with your studies. And at every film screening that I've been to, because my friend invites me to film screenings now, at every film screening I've been to, you have opened in Te Reo Māori. Like, it's just been absolutely stunning to also watch you really use your reel in those spaces and bring your reel into those spaces. Some of those audiences are not Māori audiences, and you still bringing that toe right at the beginning is gorgeous. But we were talking about the Lion King premiere and being in that space where, I don't know if everyone was Māori, but it was a very Māori environment. Everyone around me was Māori. Everybody was speaking Te Reo Māori. The film came on, everyone clapped and laughed in all the most proud ways. Everyone laughed at the same time at all the Māori jokes. And it was such an amazing space to be in. And just you and I were just talking about before this, imagine if Aotearoa felt like that every day.
Yeah, like that was normal, eh? And we were just celebrating the fact that we were just being. It was such a beautiful night, I think, for me too. Everyone in that room just felt so much whakanuia.
Yeah.
Te reo whakanuia, te ao Māori. Like, we claimed that space and it was grand and it was beautiful. And all the kids, like kids running around and being hoha, but then also watching, I had Kiritapu Allen's little girl, little five-year-old, was in front of us in the row in front of us, and every time something was happening and just seeing her face, and then Kiritapu would turn around, she was like, oh my God, just seeing her face is like crazy. Her little baby just lighting up and knowing how to whakautu te reo, could, like, you know, follow along the story, and just was, because that's all she knows. She only knows Lion King Reo Māori. She doesn't know Lion King Pākehā. Like, for her, that's a Māori film.
Yeah.
And so will Frozen. Frozen Reo Māori will be for so many other little tamariki. That'll be, oh, sweet, a Māori film from Kaitahu, mean. Yeah. You know? And others that'll come, and that'll be their experience, because going to a cinema and a space where normally you only ever will see or hear Pākehā, they're seeing and experiencing Te Reo Māori. So that's a space now that is normal and a safe wāhi haumaru space for our babies to go to. And that's always been the goal of those films anyway, is just to make it normal and a normal experience. Like you say, imagine if we could just walk around our world experiencing that feeling every day.
Ngā mita Māori as well, which is what I loved so much about Lion King. And I'm like, love that we're getting to the point now that we have production companies like Matewa who can focus on mita, not just a standardised deal that everyone understands. Like, I loved Muru for quite a few different reasons, but I loved the mita tūhoi in that movie so much. I could barely understand what anyone was saying because that mita is dense and it's so different from what I understand. And I want more. I want to hear mita that I don't immediately understand, because that's how we learn to appreciate that we're kind of sovereign iwi in our own way, you know? Like, before Pākehā arrived, Māori wasn't an identity. Your iwi and your hapū were your identity. And I'm really looking forward to our media starting to reflect that as well.
Yeah, because true. People didn't even realise that there were so many, and that is a beautiful thing. I mean, the Frozen, that's not just kaitahu either. There are some other mita in there too. Because it actually, like, the story allows it to be that way. You know, you've got people coming for koronehana from out of town, so sweet as. Hara mai tuwhare toa.
You know what I really loved, though, about The Lion King was it changed something in my whānau, in that my niece, who's 10, she has been in a rūmaki reo class in a mainstream school since she started school. And no one in my immediate whānau spoke fluent te reo Māori. And so I knew my niece went to this school and just never really understood. I never really understood her level of te reo because she never spoke te reo Māori at home. I took her along to The Lion King and to Kingi Raiona Māori. Apologies. And we sat down in the theatre and we started watching and I laughed at something and she looked at me and she was like, kei te marama koe, auntie. Mm. I was like, ai, kei te marama hai. And then for the duration of that film, she spoke to me in te reo Māori. Aww. The first time ever, in 10 years, the first time ever my niece and I conversed in te reo Māori.
Yeah.
Following that, we walked out of the film and we got to the car and she kind of wanted to ask me something and she was like, do I still speak Māori? Do I speak English? I was like, ko tēnei te rā reo Māori ne, kōrero mai te reo Māori. And for the rest of the day, she spoke to me in te reo Māori. We went home. She said, ko te pērangi au noho tonu ki tō kāinga, auntie. Mm. And I was like, oh, okay, you want to stay longer? Ko te pai? Māku e waia atu ki tō māma. So I rang her mother, my sister. I said, this girl wants to stay here for the night. Oh, why? Why does she want to stay there? Blah, 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 blah. I said, because she's in a Māori-speaking environment and auntie's helping her and she's helping auntie. And she's like, kei te pai then. And she stayed for the night and it was the most beautiful weekend because my niece had someone in her whānau to speak to in te reo Māori. Wow. And I just really, it really did solidify that this is such an important journey, not just for me, but, you know, for my niece, for my daughter, for our tamariki, for our mokopuna. And it really has changed our relationship.
Wow.
And the same with my nephew. My nephew is 11 and his parents are much older and he had to have a bit of a, not quite a sex talk, but kind of a sex talk. There were some things that had to be talked about.
With auntie.
Well, auntie stepped in to have the conversation because his parents, they kind of talked to him about it and they've got a puberty book and that, you know, my auntie and uncle, ko ia tō rāua whāngai, they do a lot. They try and do as much as they can, but also they're older. They're from an older generation where you don't really talk about sex with your kids.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they do try really hard. But auntie's just a little bit younger. And so I went in, sat down, had a kōrero with him, and we kind of had some kōrero about, you know, those sorts of things. And I was able to, he again goes to kura kaupapa Māori, I was able to interweave te reo Māori, te reo Pākehā into the conversation to really help him further and more deeply understand some of the concepts around sex that we were talking about. Because I knew the kupu Māori, he was then able to actually understand what some of these thoughts and feelings he was having and some of these things that were happening to him and some of the conversations they were having at school.
Oh, is that from Leone's other whakapuaki?
So, I mean, that has allowed me to have some really important conversations with the young people in our house who are all that kura.
Wow.
Anyway, we've come to like... We've come to almost the end of our podcast.
Oh.
I know, so fast. We are going to have another episode. I promise it's not going to take this long. We are going to do another one right at the very end. But as we kind of always do in these conversations, for people who don't have the capacity, who don't have the finances, who don't have the time to attend a full-time Te Reo Māori course, what are some of the tips that you can give them to help them continue to strengthen their reo? Because we know that there are so many things that we can take, even just examples that we can take out of this year and offer up to others to help them learn. What would be some of those things?
I continue to believe that the hardest thing about te reo is speaking. And I know that sounds very obvious, but like a lot of time you go to classes or whatever and you learn grammar and you learn to understand, but you don't learn to speak. So for me, the number one tip is, regardless of where you're finding spaces to learn te reo, whether it's Kurapua, whether it's Stacey and Scotty's books, find a way to open your mouth and speak, if that's to yourself, if it's that via like online classes, or even if, like when I did Kurapua, even with other Māori who were in my night classes, we just never practiced with each other ever, because we all just felt so stink all the time about getting it wrong. And other than that, you're just learning how to be like, ko lia ni tō kuingua, nō tāmaki a hau, da 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 da. That's it. Like, this year has just taught me the importance of opening your mouth. And it is literally the hardest part of all of it. It shouldn't be, but it is. Like, it actually is easier to understand te reo than it is to speak it, which most people will identify with. But yeah, just find a way of letting something come out of your mouth as regularly as possible, no matter where you are.
Kia ora.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I suppose it's a practical thing that I've done is really, which I implore any parent to do. Go to your kid's kura if you can, and just sit there and read a book, or be one of those volunteer parents if you can, once a week or something, which I think I want to try and do, just to be in that environment, because you're hearing the kids speak and you're hearing the kaiako speak. And although the kaiako is probably doing a lot of commands, like their language is around that kind of...
tohu, tohu.
Yeah, but for the kids, they're not. So they're speaking kind of everyday stuff and with each other, and so you can pick things up. And that's probably the hardest thing about opening your mouth, because when you do go to you're learning in a class environment, you are just kind of learning sentence structure, but you're not learning everyday kind of cordial or things that you've just we would normally just jam about in English. So it is quite hard to make that transition you want to so badly. So it's maybe finding even just those sentences that you could practice on a daily with other people, if it's just one person or whatever it is, and then just drum that into your daily routine. Things that are normal for you that you're doing in English, that is your normal daily routine, that you can then just transition into te reo Māori.
People are more forgiving than you think, you know. It would take a real bastardy bastard to be like, you said that wrong. And I know everyone who speaks te reo of every levels, I'm also discovering, people who have way better deal than us are also scared of people telling them they're doing something wrong or saying something wrong. But those people are very few and far between. I'm not saying that no one's ever had that experience, because obviously people have. But that's them being a bastard, not you doing something wrong.
I think probably just in line with what both of you have said is, if we kind of go back to when we dive into kaupapa and then we sort of research that kaupapa and we find kupu associated to that kaupapa, people can be doing that in your everyday lives. Find all the kupu associated with your job. You know, what are some of the kupu, so me, for instance, what are the kupu associated with creating a podcast? What is the reo Māori word for microphone or for headphones or recording or pod, you know, all of these different kupu. And I think if we start just doing little bits at a time, that helps us talk about our everyday lives, because then it helps us talk about our mahi, because then we have all the kupu for our mahi. It might help us talk about, you know, somewhere you like to go on holiday, find some of the kupu for hitchhiking or tent, whatever those might be. And hopefully that helps to broaden your language base. Because as Nani Ka says, you know, in order to speak, you have to have the kupu. So just find some kupu and start interweaving them into
And it's right to drop it in, to an English sentence, because at least you're dropping in something.
Ka pai, ngā mihi kōrua. Thank you so much for sharing. We will have another episode coming up with Tiffany Wetihira and Aroha Camille Harris. So make sure you tune into our next episode of Tōku Reo. We have a few more to drop before the end of the year, and hopefully we can all come together right at the end and see whether or not we can do a full podcast in Te Reo Māori or close to.
Cheers.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Kia ora.